Anyway, with Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lux.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
The following program was recorded at an earlier time.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome back, everyone.
So great to be here. So happy to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. This is Kingdom Recovery, and you're listening to WCNO. And each week we talk about things related to our life and how the Bible gives us solutions. And also we relate it to 12-step program for those who are in 12-step programs. And also those who aren't, because we talk about we all are coming out of the darkness of being an Adamite, the old man identity, into our new man. We already have our new man, but our mind needs to be sanctified, our soul. So our spirit is whole, but our soul and our body needs to be renewed. And that takes time because some of us got saved in our 30s, some of us got saved in our teens, but there was a lot of washing of the world in our brain. And now we want to wash our minds with the Word of God. So this is today we've been talking about step four is a personal inventory, and everybody should be doing a little spot check in our lives during the day, even when you get that little unction like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That's a good time to say, where did I maybe step out of God's, you know, God's will in that moment? You know, sometimes we get angry or maybe jealous or hot-tempered. All these little things that we can actually take a little inventory and turn back towards Jesus. Repent, which means turn your way, turn your thinking, turn your behavior towards Him. So step four is about making a searching and fearless moral inventory, but a truthful one. And one of the reasons why James and I, hi James, I forgot
Hello.
To say that James is with me, James Ray. I went right into this. One of the reasons why we were doing unforgiveness for a while, because unforgiveness and pride, we're going to be talking about pride today, are the two spiritual strongholds. How would you call it? Strongmans?
Well, they're the major block to deliverance.
Right.
They give the enemy rights.
Yeah.
So whether you're fighting drug addictions, porn addictions, anger addictions, depression, fear, whatever you're fighting, you give the enemy rights. And the main, I mean, there's occultic rights and things, but 98% of the time it's unforgiveness and pride is right next to it. So
yeah.
They're the two main things that right. keep us bound. And we wonder, I'm trying so hard. I'm reading the word. I'm rebuking the enemy. Nothing's happening. Why am I still
Amen.
Going through this?
And so we want to get into detail with pride, like characteristics, the fruit of pride, because even though it's rotten fruit, and it doesn't taste very good. We're going to sow prideful character behavior seeds. We're going to grow in that area of our life. And we don't want to do that. So we want to pull it from the root. So if we get an awareness, light, if we shine light on it through God's word, through awareness of what pride looks like when it manifests in the natural, some ways you can identify it in your life, then you can do a really good spot check, personal inventory.
But if you're walking in pride and you don't know it, it's not going to be a thorough.
And it's easy to see in others, but hard to see in ourselves.
Yes, correct. You know, and sometimes, you know, that's that saying, you point a finger and there are three pointing back at you. That's a true thing.
Yeah, you know? And you actually do kind of.
I always question myself.
This isn't 100%, but it's pretty high percentage-wise. A lot of times the stuff you constantly recognize in others is actually stuff that you have and don't realize it.
Amen.
And then they can be in a different motive, but you say someone gives up and gives a prophecy in church or a testimony, and you automatically go like, they're in pride. Well, it could be because if you were doing the same thing, you would be in pride to do it, but maybe they're not.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, even when I'm doing work, because I went a little further on the fruit of pride, I went into like scriptures, and I'm thinking, God, I was repenting. You know, listen, if I'm in that, because there was some that I was reading, I'm thinking, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do that. I'm like, forgive me, Father. If that was a prideful thing when I was doing that, forgive me for doing that. And make me aware when that comes up in me.
And I believe you can't just be humble. You always have to stay on top of that, because your flesh and the enemy always.
As long as we're wearing this bodysuit.
Yeah, that's something we'll always try to push you up.
Yep, yep.
Exalt yourself.
But
you know?
The more you know, the more you can grow. Because then.
Wow, is that a new one?
Yeah. And then you can go.
Is that the first time you said
grow, go. No, we said it once before. In the kingdom.
Really,
it was good, yeah. It was good then, too. But I want to read I want to read scripture. So pride. It's really like one of the first sins, right? And it's really a very serious one. Lucifer fell because of pride. And I just want to read 1 John 2:15-17. It says, do not love the world. And when we are in pride, it's because we're loving ourselves or something that we feel is going to lift us up better, more before God.
And sometimes you're trying to cover out of rejection and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a lot of aspects to it.
Because pride can go both ways. You can lift yourself, exalt yourself, or dig yourself into a deep pit.
Yeah, God would never use me, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And be very negative on yourself, which is a way of saying you know more than God, because God beautifully and wonderfully made you. So if I'm not believing that and I'm talking negative about myself or not thinking I'm good enough, then I'm lifting myself above God's word, and I don't want to do that. So hopefully that ministers to someone. But do not love the world. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Praise the Lord. And I want to say that pride is the heart of the father of lies, Satan. So we want to remember that when we're in pride, we're actually, I guess, highlighting Satan. We're making him shine, which we don't want to do that.
His identity. Can I add a scripture?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Matthew 18:4. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Amen. And we just want to make it very clear. I know for myself, and I know James, I know you long enough to know your heart is for God's people. And, you know, and we want to I want to just make it clear that we're not encouraging anyone to be sin conscious. That's not what this is about. It's about being spiritually aware of the spiritual things around us. You know, how real they really are. They're more real than the natural world around us, believe me. Wouldn't you say so, James?
Amen.
Amen. Right?
That's why we don't.
So we are exposing spiritual roots, hidden the hidden roots that aren't easy to see with the eye, but the more you know in your heart, the more you can see, you can discern these things. And we want to help people to be able to do that. And it's the malady of sin, sickness, and disease. We're exposing it and bringing it to the light, the word of God, the relationship that we're encouraging everyone to get for themselves with God and be with him, and through his love, that we can be delivered, set free, and live whole, one with the Father, right? So, and the awareness of what Jesus already did for us at the cross. He's already, his life, his death at the cross, and his resurrection paid the price. We are fully alive in him if we choose to live that way. So if there are no more bad days, as Pastor Tom would say. There should be no more bad days. And if there is, just turn it around. There was a song on the a little while ago, turn this around, turn it around. And that's, it's really our job to turn it around. God gave us, he supplied all our needs. He gave us, we all have the word, the same measure, the same 24 hours, the same words of God, his direction. Nobody has something left out where, you know, they're missing a piece or a part of their, how he created you. He created us all equally the same in spirit. We all have a different look or purpose, or, you know, God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us, but it's lines up with his plan and purpose. So we want to help people just be aware of this and to clean house, because if we're not cleaning our hearts, cleaning our house, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have full access of our lives. And then when we say we love you with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our body, we're really holding stuff back. It's almost like the couple that kept money in the wall. You know, they held back part of, they didn't give it all. And, you know, all they had to do is say, you know, God knows us. All they had to do is say, we're not ready to give it all. You know, he's merciful.
He didn't have to say that. All he had to do is say, I'll give you. He didn't have to give any. So
exactly.
I mean, he could just say,
exactly.
It's a fact.
So with that, I want to talk a little bit about how our identity crisis is rooted in pride. And that's where the enemy attacks us in our soul, in our mind. That's where he questioned Jesus even. But Jesus knew the word. He stood on the word. He believed his plan and purpose. He was here to fulfill for God. And he did not stray from that. He did not waver. And the enemy used the word of God to challenge him, and it was a little bit off. So that's why you have to know him intimately. You have to know his word intimately, so that when something is a little off, you can discern it. Same thing with pride in me. If something's a little off in me, I want to be able to discern that so that I don't step off. Because we were also talking about there are some things like that just start coming when you get born again. You get delivered, you're getting delivered, and the more you hear the word, the more you read the word, the more you get washed and renewed, you get renewed in the mind, the more your mind thinks, you get freedom and liberty. But there are some things that have legal rights, generational stuff, right? And we'll get into that with this, because the fourth step has three parts to it. It has a resentment list, if you want to get thorough, and it's really our instincts. It's the way it's our basic needs. Our resentments, which is our social skills, you know, our social being. And then it's fear. That's our security. This is, every man needs this. This is the way we were designed. And the enemy knows it, so he manipulated, distorted it, and uses it against us. And then our be fruitful and multiply, production, producing, reproducing. Our intimate relationships, harm's done to others because we can't be not only spiritually and physically intimate, but mentally, emotionally intimate with people, because we have all the stuff inside of us that's separating us, just like it separates us from God. The enemy, that's his desire, is to separate us from God. He'll use people, places, and things, but we have to remember it's not people, places, and things. It's the enemy behind them, or manipulating them through them. Okay, so identity crisis is rooted in pride. Not sure who my daddy is when I'm in pride. I'm believing I'm lost, and I'm trying to protect myself in some way, even if it is belittling myself. I'm still trying to present myself some way. Not sure who I am. I need to know who I am, and the only way I can get that, not a man, not a person, place, or thing, can give me that
assurance of who I am, except for God. He's the only one. I've tried everything.
And I used to put myself down all the time.
I think that's common.
That rejection.
More common than...
But I was hoping that someone would say, no, you're not. Oh, I'm so ugly. No, you're not. Yes. No, they wouldn't say nothing. You feel more rejected. Yeah.
I think that's probably more common. That's why people don't even recognize it as being pride. Because it there's a humbling feeling, this, you know, like a feeling that you get with it. But it's a manipulation of humbleness. You know, it's not true. That's why you need to know. It's a deception. It's a falsy. It's a false prophecy of this, of you know, being humble.
Yeah, because fear of man, you feel like people are looking at you. I had to put this car part in my back of my car to take the machine shop, and there's a garage next door, like right the next lot that has like four garage doors that open towards my shop, and I carried this part out, put it in the back of the car. Then I took it back inside because I thought they weren't open. Then I was like, put it back in the car, took it out again, and I'm like, then this guy said he could work on it, and I'm like, man, I hate to even carry it back out there because all these people are looking at me, put it in and out of the car four times, and the Lord says, do you ever look over at that shop at what they're doing over there? I said, no. He said, what makes you think they're watching you put that in and out of your car? And then he actually showed me there was a little pride, thinking I was important enough that people actually cared what I was doing.
Amen, right? And then they're just doing that thing. It's like almost
it
like
it felt like I was just insecure and fear, but it was actually pride of all.
Yeah, it's also like it's close to resentment too when you get the obsessive compulsive, all you're doing is thinking about them thinking about you kind of thing. And meanwhile they're going on with their day. Then you weren't even a thought in their mind, but you let them occupy it. We call it renting space. Mm-hmm. You know, in our minds. And that's, you know,
and they're not even the ones doing it. It's an enemy in you.
Exactly. That's
what
I'm saying. So it's, and that's why we can recognize it as, I'm not that important. Like, why would, you know, like that person, it's pride trying to tell you that's all they're thinking about is what they could have said to you, what they should have said to you. And that's most of the time they're just living their life, but we're so built up in ourself at that moment, you know? So I want to, define crisis. It's a calamity, a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger, critical point, turning point, a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. And we stood at a turning point in step three. Am I going to turn my will and my life over to the care of God? But I can't do that unless I'm willing to be honest and open, right? So it's a crossroads, the turning point of a disease. This is what this is. When an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. Hallelujah. So I always say this. This is how I present it. Either I'm in a crisis or I'm in Christ. I have to make a decision. So if there's things that aren't lining up, emotions, feelings, you know, self-will run riot, thoughts, obsessive compulsive thoughts, I'm most likely in the crisis. And I'm not settled because his yoke is easy. He's healed me. He will supply all my needs. That's where peace comes in. And that's when you're in Christ because you're resting in him. So hopefully that helps somebody to get a more practical way of recognizing that. So there comes a time in everyone's life where we find ourselves at a turning point, faced with the decision on which way to go, just as the prodigal son did, right? My way, pride, or God's way through Jesus. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So I have to make a decision. Each one of us, we have to be accountable, individual. It's an individual relationship with God. I can't jump on a bandwagon with a bunch of people because if they go in a wrong direction, I'm going to be going in the wrong direction with them. I need to be in my own relationship with God, in communion with him, knowing his word, because he's going to speak to, he speaks to each and every one of us in the language that we will receive, you know, and he knows us. He knows every hair on your head. So I have to make the decision to turn my will and my life over. I can't let a judge do it, my spouse do it. I don't have a spouse, but even when, or you know, my children, my boss,
it has to be me, because most of the time we will. Sometimes I hear a lot of people, well, the judge brought me here, I have to do this. Eventually, you're going to go out and do it your way again. It has to be turning your will, your life over, a willing. That's why God doesn't force us to love him. He wants us to come unconditionally. The prodigal son. He had to make it. He knew where the prodigal son was. He probably heard about what the prodigal son was doing. And he never left his castle to go chase him. He let him do what he needed to do to find himself. He was the one that smelled like the poop in the pig pen and say, I'd rather be with my dad. I'd rather be. It doesn't matter if, put it this way. I say this too, that even what I thought was the worst conditions in my home is still better than being out there in the wilds of the enemy with God. So there was a time when, for me, fornication might have been a little bit tough. Mm-hmm. But I would rather have that rule than be devoured. You know? Yeah.
James, I just want to say that
I'm getting off on a little tangent.
No, and I just want to say what was coming to me. There's a lot of people that are like, well, pride, this isn't really something I need to deal with. And if you've had that thought, then that means you need
Amen.
To listen
careful. Amen. Amen. It's so true.
It's so
true. Because it wants
tricky.
To tell you you don't have it.
Because when you deal with the stuff, bitterness, and when you get people delivered, healing comes so easy. People that's been trying to get healed for 30 years, all of a sudden they're getting healed of things. So it's actually not just deliverance, but it's really neat, the miracles that come behind deliverance.
Amen.
Very
amen.
Commonly.
Yes. Amen. So it's our job. It's my responsibility to turn my will over to the care of God. I can't allow, well, somebody might try to, but I'm going to take it back and do it my way once it gets lifted, whether it's a mandate or if I get threatened by a spouse that they're going to leave if you don't change. It's not going to work that way. It has to be your heart to God, over to the care of God and his will, his way, which is Jesus, the only way, the way, right? John 14:6 says, Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I had many prayers when I was out there in my life, you know, when I was active, when I was younger, you know, living crazy on the streets, doing my own thing, rebelling. I would pray to God. I'd be like, our Father, our Father. I knew him as our Father. I didn't understand him as my Father. But I, you know what I mean? I would say it. But I wasn't relating to him. I wasn't relating him as my daddy. Today I do, only because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I definitely didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I knew him as a man.
Yeah.
And then received the Holy Spirit. See, that's why we must be born again. We can't even see or enter in. There's two parts of that born again experience. The first one is you can't see it, which is spiritually see. And then to enter in is to live in it, which is, because a lot of us see it. We know heaven's for real. We'll say it's for real. We never seen it, but we know in our hearts we've seen it. But to live in it, to enter in, is when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to walk with your steps, lead your steps, mm-hmm. right? So we need to be informed about the facts of our situation in order to make a decision. So that's where honesty and truth, that's where I have to sit and really soul search. What are my thoughts? Who am I angry at? What do I feel entitled to? Why do I murmur and complain? These were my questions. Because I was a big one. I would murmur and complain, you know? Even though I was doing good things, I was still making the verbal list. So everybody heard about my good things I was doing, you know? So the situation, in order to make a decision, the action or process of reaching a conclusion, formal judgment, the word of God. 1 Timothy 6:17-19 says, tell those rich in the world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build treasury that will last
gaining life that is truly life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So unwillingness to be humble, right, as Jesus is and was when he walked the earth, and listen to the Holy Spirit will keep me from giving up, surrendering, dying to my own will. It's not dying to my own flesh. He already died to me. I mean, when you die to your own will, your flesh does die because it's not getting fed what it was used to getting fed. And that's okay. It'll live. That's how it lives. That's so good. I'm thinking because it lives. You don't have to be afraid of the death because you're going to live eternal when you deprive your body of all the false riches of the world. Hallelujah. You live beyond, you know. So you surrender, fleshly desire in pride, and your life over to the care of God is pride. When you refuse to do that and you say, well, I need to do this, or one more time, or you're still not in the surrender mode
they just need to listen to me, or I'm not putting up with that, or you know, I want to read this scripture.
Go ahead.
Says, it's Philippians 2, starting in 3. This is Jesus. Or no, it's not. Sorry. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. So we esteem others. That's humbling ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, and then says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Says over and over the scriptures are, when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Amen. When you exalt yourself, destruction's coming. Mm-hmm. And pride's just a big thing in America. I don't want to offend anybody, but like social media, are we showing like what we're eating and what we're doing? And is it all on us, or are we showing?
Amen. You know, selfies, just the name in itself, taking selfies.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have got hit in the head by a friend if I ever turned my camera around when we were in the club. If I would have brought a camera to the club, they would have been mad. Never mind a phone and, you know, doing all these pictures of myself with everybody else.
Yeah, it says man will become lover of themselves in the last days, you know, and I believe it's just a spiritual attack on
it
the
is.
Country.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's not just...
It's not, and this is not for
us.
Condemning
it's no
anyone.
Condemning.
It's just, what's going on.
If you were wanting to see the move of God in our lives, and these are areas the enemy keeps us under, and we don't know why we're having such a hard time.
Amen. So I do want to say that pride is an attitude of being independent from God. It's saying, I can do this. I got this. Self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-centered, you know, it's a lot of self in there. So the manifestation of my desire for pleasure is pride, a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievement, the achievement of those whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Take delight, joy, pleasure for and in myself first. Now, God says we're supposed to take pleasure and delight in him. See, the enemy distorted that. He distorted that whole thing about taking joy. God gave us joy. He gives us joy and delight and pleasure, but unto him. And when we are exalted, when you were saying that, James, I had some, God gives me like little memories. The exaltation, to be exalted by God is just rising above the occasion in joy. That's what it feels like. It feels like that's feeling exalted. Like, this is not as bad as I thought it was. Those are the moments where you feel like you're risen beyond the situation. That's the best place to be, when you're not being affected by what's going on around you. When you can separate who you are from the situation from people, places, and things. That's exalting. You know,
you can have like pure joy in serving someone.
Yep. Yes.
And the natural would be like,
exactly. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But the anointing can come on. I've had the strongest anointings I've felt was washing someone's feet.
Amen. Amen.
And not every time, but I mean, one time it was a pastor, and it's funny because I went in there, I think he thought I was crazy, and the power of God hit so strong, and I couldn't hardly talk. I was trying to talk. I thought I shouldn't even be talking over this, but I didn't know what he was thinking. I just started the church. I looked up, and I said, "Do you feel that?" I looked up, and he just had his eyes closed, his hands open, facing up in his lap, and he was shaking. I looked up, and he's like, "Oh, yeah." And the
Praise
funny
God.
Thing is, the next time I went to church, he had a big foot washing bowl in there. I'm like, well, I bet he did that because what happened?
Amen. Mm. So the spirit of pride keeps me from receiving God's perfect will, his love. And that's what the spirit of pride does to all of us if we allow him to harass us. You know, I said haunted by pride. It is. They're haunting spirits. They're harassing spirits. So pride is one of them. And he's the big one, you know, and unforgiveness. So Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And the Holy Spirit, you know, in the image and likeness, we start to, when we're humble, right? Like you were saying about Jesus, walking as Jesus walked, Holy Spirit has freedom to operate the power. When obedience, humble, activates power, Holy Spirit power in us.
Yeah, I'll say, ma'am, demons recognize humility. Deliverance ministers that actually are delivering. There's a lot of people that say they're deliverance ministers. They're not actually, you know, I'll say, well, how many diseases are you know, some of them aren't really, I don't think, getting anybody delivered. But the ones that are getting it done, everyone I've ever met is just super humble.
Amen.
And when you start having demons manifest and talking to you, they'll show you your pride real quick, especially someone that knows anything starts yelling, and then church is looking at them and the demons making fun of them. And if you're feeling shame, then that's pride, because if we're really tied to our flesh, we can't get embarrassed.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Well, it's pride that causes us to get embarrassed because we think we have a reputation when actually we really don't.
Yeah, right. So pride offends God. It turns your focus, eyes, attention, looking where you're looking, away from grace, the grace of God. And you know, that's Jesus. We're not following. The Holy Spirit only wants to follow Jesus, lead us to Jesus. And when we're in pride, the Holy Spirit, we're not choosing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We're choosing pride. And it's about leading myself into me, making me feel good. Me, myself, and I, the ism, they say, I, self, and me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is very, you know, sometimes I say to myself, you know, how world and word have one letter. That's missing. It's like so close, because that's how deceiving you can even write it by accident the wrong way. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes you can tell by your conversations, like if you use the word I like 10 times in the conversation, you're like,
Yeah. Amen. So grace is simple elegance and refinement of movement, courteous goodwill. It's the free and unmerited favor of God. And that's for us who are born again, who believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We believe that God gave his one and only Son to us, to die for us. That's how much love and grace he has for us. And it's also his grace. Now, we say sin is the same. Somebody said, yeah, well, what's the difference between, you know, sins? And it's not sin is sin. It's the grace of God on our life. Now, there are things that I know better today, you know, and I should know better. So the grace level, I mean, he's always forgiving if I repent. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, if somebody doesn't know better, God has much more grace for that person until they get into the fullness of him in that place than another person, than me in an area. Because I've been living a certain way. I've been practicing in that in his word in that way, that at that point I shouldn't even need his grace on that anymore. It should be who I am in him. Praise the Lord.
I can give kind of an example.
Go ahead.
I got a baptized at around 20 years old, and I'm living with girls, going to church, and for about 8 years. And then I was 29 years old, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't ask for it. Didn't know what was going on. I shook for 4 hours, and then suddenly I felt conviction. I only drank one time after that. I felt convicted. I quit sleeping with my girlfriend, and we broke up 6 months later, and the Lord spoke to me. First time I ever heard him. I think he was speaking through impression, but I didn't understand that. So he spoke in a level where I heard him more or less in my head, like in my spirit, and to go pray for someone. He healed him, and I just started praying for people for about 8 or 9 years. God healed a lot of people. I prayed for a lot of people. And then I went through a couple of years of just getting attacked and depression and self-pity, and I didn't even know what demons were then. And I ended up, this girl was chasing me for a couple of years, and I ended up in a situation where I ended up sleeping with her like twice during a week, and I was praying by the bed, and second time I ever heard him, and all he did was speak a scripture.
Amen.
And I was just glad to hear him. I'm like, you do love me, because I didn't look at him as healing people as showing me love, but when he talks to me, I feel like he's showing me love. And I was just, I think I might have been crying. I jumped up, opened the Bible, and it said, no fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I went and broke it right off. But I had no grace for that, you know, walking in the supernatural and
Amen.
Being not doing that for 8 years to go back to that. I had no grace, and I had a, you know, I I definitely shut it right off. But I was, you know, where the first 8 years before I was filled with the Spirit, I was going to church and thought I was okay, you know, right in the middle of all the mess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about, grace. And grace, one of the definitions of grace is the divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life. So grace is our power to overcome sin.
Amen.
And that's the advantage mm-hmm. we have in the New Testament. When Amen. We receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, it's not only power to heal other people, cast out demons, but it's also the power to overcome those things that we could not seem to overcome before we got filled Amen. With the Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit, exactly. So, and I also have here, it's as manifested in salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Christ in me, the hope of glory, to be more like Jesus. That's the grace that we have. God gave us the same Spirit that's in Jesus. He gave us so that we can fulfill God's plan and purpose. We can be able to defeat temptation. Be able. Holy Spirit makes us able, but we have to also give him permission. How? By obedience, by submission, you know, by purity. If I'm not pure of heart, and you know, it'll make it very difficult.
It's very hard to hear.
Pure-hearted.
And I just call them like filters, like even people that are prophets or gift of prophecy. A lot of them, you'll notice it'll come through their filter, you know, and whatever is on their heart. Like, say the I don't even want to bring any specific thing up. It could be used wrong, but the prophecies a lot of time will be directed into that area that they're always think God's heart's in because their heart's in it. And the more we get delivered, the more you'll hear the Lord usually.
Amen. So we will either work hard for an identity or work hard from our identity.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah. Grace is God working in and from us, from each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, his character, transforming me into the character, the image and likeness of God. So instead of having the pride character, right, spirits have character. God has character. He's so awesome. Know who he is, because then you know when you're in his character, or you know when you need to be in his character. Praise the Lord. You know, like sometimes I have to say, God, show me how I can love in this situation, because it's really hard in my natural way.
A lot of times when I'm having that problem, I pray, God, show me your heart for them. Show me
Amen.
How you see him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me feel your love for them.
Amen.
So he's done it sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's where
and their heart was totally not like what I thought. They seemed so obnoxious and loud.
Yeah.
And it was
like. And
then you
see like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, yep. Totally.
Amen.
Actually did in that situation.
Amen. Amen. So James 4:4-6 says, and this is pride promotes strife.
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure, that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteress, do you not know that friends with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, and we know vain is vanity or for nothing. When we do anything in pride, it's for nothing, basically. And God showed me that when I was reading things about vain and vanity, it goes for nothing. We're doing it out of an empty place. Pride is just an empty place. Okay. The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. And that's Holy Spirit power and ability.
You know? I've seen like a guy that didn't know anything about deliverance and confessed to me, he was a businessman, that he was addicted to pornography and he wanted to get free of it. And mm-hmm. he was going to a church, they just weren't into the move of the spirit, really. And he shared with a few people, and you know, I seen him like 3 or 4 months later, asked how he's doing, and he was totally delivered, just him humbling himself.
Amen.
God delivered him.
Amen.
His grace, the grace yes. to overcome,
Amen.
The power to overcome
Praise
when
the
we
Lord.
Humble ourselves.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whenever there is aught between me and another person, there is pride. There's some pride going on there, you know. And you can have, people can have aught with you, but you truly want the best for that person. You truly pray for that person. You offer yourself, you know, whatever it is to that person. That's something different. But if you're feeling upset or offended or anything, then it's most likely that's pride. It's you're believing a lie about yourself. And that's how the enemy talks, you know, in a prideful way. You want to say, that's not me. Or, you know, you want to be right, maybe. That's prideful. Right? So pride says, I don't like it, and it's your fault.
I'm sorry. I've just prayed a lot of times I was wrong. People that start like arguing me. Before I really knew how spirits worked, I would want to be right because I had that rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, man, I hope they're right. I know I'm right. Oh, man, I wish they'd be. Lord, please let them be right. I don't want them to feel that rejection when they're wrong.
Amen.
Usually they.
Amen. Pride looks for reasons to argue. People filled with pride care more about making a point than people. They will sacrifice people to make a point. Sign of immaturity, spiritual immaturity. Pride looks for reasons to disconnect. Focus on small reasons to disconnect rather than focus on things that can connect us to others. Judgmental. Compare their way and belief to others. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's right. And that's the truth. Pride looks for reasons to condemn, tormented and feel condemned. They condemn others, feel better about themselves. It brings them up and makes you feel better than the people you're around. I did that as a drug addict. Just, you know what I mean? I to me, it's like the most bizarre thing, but this is how sick my thinking was. So I freebased. The whole world knows now. Yeah. I was a freebaser in the 80s and early 90s. I got sober in 91. But I would freebase, and I was in, like, I guess a drug den, you know, someone's apartment, drug dealer, party, people sleeping. You know, it's like crazy. And there were a couple of people doing, shooting up cocaine and heroin. So I guess that they were speedballs, I guess. I don't know. And they asked me if I wanted to do it. And now, mind you, I have a crack pipe in my... Well, it wasn't crack at the time. It was freebasing pipe. Mm. And I looked at them like, ew, that's like bad what you're doing. Talk about pride. I was judging them. I was just as bad, you know? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
So pride looks for reasons to condemn, torment it. Okay. They condemn others, feel better about themselves, bring themselves up. When others sin and may even be glad, they may go to hell. You know, I know, you know, my son was upset. Something happened on the cruise ship. And when it was asked of him how he would like to handle a situation, he goes, I don't care if that man dies. I said, we are not making a decision with that kind of feeling, with that attitude, with that those emotions. Mm-hmm. We're going to wait. And do you know, within 2 days, he's like, whatever they feel is just, we'll just leave it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to respond out of, because he was, his pride was a little, he was embarrassed. You know what I mean? So there mm-hmm. were things going on in him that he didn't know how to express. So he wanted to hurt, he wanted that man to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then a couple of days later, and it wasn't like the man wasn't going to have a penalty, but it was appropriate enough. He felt better. You know, Rocco was fair. And he was just and fair. We talked about a little bit. And that's why we need to yield sometimes and just stop what we're doing and rest in the Lord and let him minister to us. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves and go to that secret place from the world and just sit quietly with the Lord, especially when we're going off in our mind so much, right? So pride looks for reasons to show off knowledge.
Yeah, even scripture knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, James. Go ahead. Talk about that.
Well, religious spirits are just very Amen. Common. And now everybody on mm-hmm. social media is now.
Yep.
I mean, and they're post videos and they'll soundbite things. And I mean, I mm-hmm. had someone yeah. show me a video of people soundbiting some people about the prosperity gospel. And I mean, that stuff's dangerous. I had cancer. I know I can't. I know how quickly you've got to be careful not yeah. to judge. Amen. And if they are wrong, let that God deal with them. Don't you get Amen. To judge
anymore. Amen.
So we got to guard ourselves. Social media can be dangerous. I was thinking, man, this can be very dangerous.
Yeah. So when we're doing something like that, when we are, looking for reasons to show off our knowledge, we pull things out of context. We show others in the world how well we know the world, you know, things about the world, you know, trivia. I am that I'm informed. I study the word. I know who I am. You know, boastful. That's vain. That's vanity. That's pride. So pride takes everything personal, gets very defensive, believes everyone is talking about them. Right? Pride feels right all the time, causes fights, gets upset. Then when others disagree, pride believes their desires are the most important. What I want is more important, me first, than everybody else. Pride wants the other person to apologize. If that person would just change or say sorry, then I wouldn't feel this way. Then I wouldn't act this way. Then I wouldn't say this thing, right? That's pride. Pride is negative and critical. People avoid you, arrogance, murmur, and complain, and condemn, instead of humility, gratitude, and encouragement. And depression is pride, because you get so into yourself that you're eating away at yourself, alone, isolation, by yourself, not wanting to be with other people. Do not fight pride with pride. It takes humility to fight, okay, to defeat pride. It takes a humbling of ourselves. James 4:7-10 says, humility cures worldliness. Vanity and pride is worldliness. When we want the world's goods, when we want the world's ways, when we want the world's acceptance, we're in pride and vanity. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So stay under him, and you'll be in high places. You'll be right with him under his wing, because he's going to be above everything. He's above everything. So stay under him, under his word, You know, when we stand on his word, we're under him, his covering. And then we can see what God needs us to see. We can see what God sees sometimes, like James was saying. Sometimes he'll show us how that other person is really being tormented. Maybe things that, and your heart, the compassion when that happens. I want to cry thinking about it because I've experienced it. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, to feel God's, just a little piece of it. It's not even him in it. It's just a moment of, he gives you a little taste of what it, what he sees and feels. It's very humbling.
Yeah, and you get those revelations more when you help other people. It's like most of this, out of all the times I've heard God speak, clearly it was usually for someone I was helping.
I'm Amen. Like,
why don't you talk to me about myself this much?
Yeah. And I always remember when I would get all caught up in myself, James, in the beginning, in myself and my things and my issues and how people were offending me and hurting me. I would, in the middle of it all, my murmuring and complaining, I'd turn around and say, I think I need to go help somebody. He would be like, his mouth would drop like, how does she understand that? Right, James?
Yeah, and I was thinking to say a minute ago, like that, I just like, that is so mature. That was so, because, I mean, we've only been talking like a month or so. You mentioned that. I'm going to go to a meeting. I got to help someone else. I got to get
Amen.
On myself. That I can feel that depression. I'm like, I didn't say it self-pity because we hadn't gotten into spirits at all. But I was like, that is like the, just 5 minutes ago when you started talking, you started going down this trail, I was going to say when I had a second, I was going to say, if we could take all the people that are on depressive antidepressants
and let them do service
and have them forget the past and help someone every day, it would do far better than any of them drugs are doing.
Amen. Because the euphoria you feel when you're giving of yourself, truly.
Well, it gets your mind off you. That
and
spirit keeps
your mind
you tied
off
on yourself and your
and
problems.
You feel exalted. That's
well, the Lord blesses you.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's how you
Spirit,
feel exactly.
Like the Holy Spirit.
And you know, it's like being intoxicated in a way that's what we've been all chasing. It's the joy. It's the peace. It's beyond understanding. It's beyond what the world can give. When you're receiving from the Holy Spirit that peace, that joy from God, you can't explain it. It's like speaking in spirit. It's like spiritual language. There are words that I know God speaks to me that I can't even put. I was just sharing this with somebody else this morning. There are words that when he reveals something, revelation in my heart, sometimes I can't even put a word to it because it's so big. And I might, you know, like try to get a word that is at least somewhat suitable, but it's beyond human words. That's why praying in the spirit is so good.
And God made us very chemical in nature, you know, and with dopamine and serotonin, all these different things that really control how we feel. And the enemy knows how to manipulate that stuff big time.
Mm-hmm.
So then we take antidepressant drugs. And
right.
I don't know how they are now. I know like when I first started getting into deliverance, I know like 15, 20 years ago, it was what the antidepressants would do is they would just block the receptors that let the serotonin go back out of your blood. So it kept it in your blood, didn't make it produce more. So then your body would read, it's already trying to shut it down.
It's just temporary fault.
It would make it shut it down even more though, because it's reading higher level than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So then they end up killing people in the schools and stuff, Prozac and stuff.
Amen. So Jesus is our example of what humility looks like in the flesh. Humility grows integrity and grace of God. Have the mind of Christ. Give up your divine privileges and empty yourself to others. Get up, wrap a towel around your waist, and wash feet. Praise the Lord, right, James? Because we've done that
feet.
In our, right? Feed my sheep. Serve. That's what Jesus said. Feed my sheep. We don't have much time left, so we'll just... God calls us to humble ourselves, to be free from pride and sin in self. Me, I, and my sin, not yours. It's me. I have to do a personal inventory on me, not you, not anybody else, not my kids. It's me. How am I processing, behaving, responding to my environment? Is it in a godly way? Is it in a word way or a worldly way? And that's if I stay focused and become accountable for my own self, pride will flee because it knows I recognize it when it's walking in the room. when it's trying to talk to me, right?
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. Go ahead, James.
We're just always remember, we're not above anybody else. Our opinions don't matter more than theirs.
No.
Maybe we have a little knowledge. That's just because we learned something. So, you know, you see a homeless person. If you look down on them, you got pride. That's right. There goes I for the grace of God.
Right. And God says, you know, if you feed the least of us, you're feeding him. You know, I have a very big testimony on that one where I actually felt God's compassion, and it was incredible that I sat. There's several times where you just can't even move. You're just crying. It's incredible. So we're going to pray. James will do a little, you want to pray for the listeners and cast out any pride or maybe revelation that anything we spoke about, because we're going to continue this next
week. You really got to humble yourself different than.
I do want to say, sorry, James, we are going to have a phone call next week with Hope for You Global. They do a deliverance, Greg and Gail, so they'll be with us. James, you pray us out and just cast out.
Father, just help us to recognize and put others before ourselves, Lord, to humble ourselves and just keep our eyes on You. You gave us an example of humility in Jesus, Lord. Help us to walk as Jesus did and to lift others up and just walk in the love that You want us to walk in, Lord, to love others more than ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We agape You. Shalom, shalom. Have a great week. We'll talk next week.
Amen.
This is Kingdom Recovery.
We'll get a little on forgiveness next week.
WCNO 89.9. And remember, my number is 631-745-7980. If you have any questions, if you want prayer, if you want to reach James, just contact me, Luann Linneken, okay? And I will, you know, if I don't know the answers, I'll get them. I'll find out. I'll try my best to serve. Have a wonderful week. God bless. Hallelujah.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. And about recovery.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.
Does the Bible sometimes seem complicated to you? Well, to help you get a proper perspective, we invite you to join us on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee each weekday on the station as we go through the Bible in 5 years. Dr. McGee teaches the Bible in an easy-to-understand way, and you'll appreciate his simple, down-to-earth, and yet profound Bible teaching right here on the station.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.